Let me invite you, if you brought with you a copy of the Word of God, to open it up today, please, to the Gospel according to Matthew. The Gospel according to Matthew, we're going to look at chapter 5, verse number 8. Chapter 5, verse number 8 of the Gospel according to Matthew. I have the New King James Version of the Bible with me. So if you found that portion of the Word of God, would you stand with me, please, as we honor God and we share together in the reading of God's holy, His inerrant, and His infallible Word. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 8, the Bible says, "Blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God." Again, blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God. Pray with me if you would. Heavenly Father, we do come before you today in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, to come into your house with brothers and sisters in Christ to lift up that sweet name of Jesus. Father, we are so grateful. So grateful for Jesus, and we are so grateful for His work upon the cross. We are so grateful to have the opportunity of experiencing eternal life. God, we want to understand Your Word today. We want to understand what it means to be people who have a pure heart and the results of that. God, we want to see You this morning. So I pray, God, that You would help us do that. Lord, I know who I am. God, I'm just a man that is in desperate need of You. And so, Lord, I want to be an instrument that is used wholly of You today. And so, God, I pray that You'd use me. Lord, deliver me from me. Fill me, sweet Father, with Your Holy Spirit. Give me, O God, that heavenly unction. For it is in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. And it is in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that I preach. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. A new bride and a new groom, they bought a new house. And they moved into a rather established neighborhood that a lot of older couples lived in this particular neighborhood. Nice backyards. In fact, each house was kind of a cookie cutter, one of another, and backyards kind of faced backyard, and there was a chain link fence in between the backyard, and everyone had the opportunity of looking into everyone's backyard. Well, one morning, the new bride, she was out doing laundry, and she had a clothesline out in her backyard. Any of you remember what a clothesline is? Okay, any of you use a clothesline these days? Some of us do a clothesline these days. Well, she had a clothesline, and she was using it, hanging her clothes up on the clothesline. Well, the lady that was her backyard neighbor was sitting in the kitchen, and she with her husband were enjoying some breakfast and a cup of coffee, and she picks up her cup of coffee, and she walks over to the window, and she peers out the window, and she just kind of shook her head. And she said, "Honey, would you look at this?" Said, "This lady doesn't know anything about washing clothes. Just look at those clothes. They are filthy. They are dirty. They are just absolutely terrible to look at. Kids these days, they don't know how to do anything. Maybe I ought to go over and show her how to sort and wash her laundry." But she didn't go over. A few days passed. They were seated in the kitchen enjoying morning breakfast. And the new bride, guess what she did? She went back out in the yard, hanging up her clothes on her clothesline. The lady again gets up with her cup of coffee in her hands, and she walks to the window, and she's like, "I cannot believe it. She still hasn't learned to wash clothes. Look how filthy those clothes are. The whites are terrible. The colors are terrible. Somebody's got to go over there and teach her how to wash clothes." But she didn't go. The husband didn't say a word. He just kind of looked at her and went, A few days went by, and guess what happened? Sure enough, the new bride was out in her backyard. And guess what she was doing this time? She was hanging her clothes on the clothesline. Same couple, husband and wife, sitting in the kitchen. Wife jumps up really quickly with her cup of coffee in her hand, and she runs to the window, and she says, "Well, I be. Look at how clean and beautiful those clothes are. Honey, do you notice this?" The husband says, "Yes, I noticed them, because this morning before you got up, I washed and cleaned all of our windows." Now, do you understand what I'm trying to get you to see? Sometimes what you're looking through clouds the picture that you get. Okay? Sometimes what you have in front of your eyes can cloud the true picture that really is. Now, we are in the Sermon on the Mount, and we are looking at the Beatitudes, the blessed attitudes. And this particular Beatitude is the blessing of a pure heart. It says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." So what is he talking about here? What is the Lord Jesus talking about here as penned through his disciple Matthew? What is going on here in Matthew's gospel when we look at verse number 8? We see here in this passage of Scripture, and we know that this passage teaches us how we are to live righteously, and we look at these Beatitudes, and we've already discovered that these Beatitudes are blessed attitudes that we should have, blessed attitudes that the Christian must have, and we're going to talk about the blessed attitude of having a pure heart. But there's some things I want you to think with me about this morning. The first thing I want you to think with me about this morning is, what is a pure heart? A pure heart defined. What is a pure heart? How do you define what a pure heart is? Notice on the outline that I put in front of you, the pure heart is the real us. It is the control center of who we are. I like to look at what other theologians say, and one favorite theologian of many is John MacArthur. John MacArthur is right on a lot of what he says, and he had a commentary in regard to this particular beatitude, and this is what MacArthur said. MacArthur said, and I quote, "This Greek term, pure, as in pure in heart, this Greek term was often used of metals that had been refined until all impurities had been removed, leaving only behind the pure metal. In that sense, purity means unmixed, unalloyed, unadulterated, undivided attention and devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ is his aim." And I thought, wow, MacArthur hit it right on the head. That's exactly what it means. To have a pure heart means that you have a heart that is undivided. Now, can I meddle a little bit? How many of us can say that we have a pure heart that is undivided? And I know most of you in this room, some of you in this room, I know really well. And I know that I'm preaching this morning to a group of people that absolutely love Jesus Christ. I know that, and I believe that, sincerely believe that most of the people in this room, even those that are watching on the live feed today, I know that they are people that really do love the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But when it comes to the vision of God that we have, we don't see God the way we should see God because we're looking through impurities at God. Can you see that? What in your life? What in your heart? What is that in your realm of being that causes you not to see God clearly? That is what keeps you from being a pure heart. I like the idea, definition of pure is illustrated by Ivory soap. Anybody ever used Ivory soap? You remember those old commercials of Ivory soap? Ivory soap, they would advertise, they are 99 1/44 pure, right? That means that they are unmixed with anything else. You get a pure bar of soap, and you get purely clean if you're washing with Ivory soap. There's nothing else in there but Ivory soap. A pure heart defined. Is there anything else in there in your life that keeps you from seeing God the way God needs to be seen? Here's the second thing that I want to talk to you about. Not only a pure heart defined, but a pure heart defiled. We understand that every human being has heart trouble. The reality is that while we're living in this world, we will struggle with the presence of sin in this life, right? And that is just the way it is. We are people that are filled with the sinful thoughts. We are people that are filled with sinful ideas. Our heart is desperately wicked, the scripture says. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? What Jeremiah says. Your heart is impure. Your heart is unclean. Your heart harbors things and thoughts and secret desires that ought not be there. And it distracts you from seeing all of God, right? You get distracted a little bit. You get to focusing on other things. I can understand that. Sometimes I think I know more about basketball than I do the Word of God. That ought not be, right? It's okay to enjoy things. I enjoy basketball. I enjoy watching basketball. I used to enjoy playing basketball. Basketball is my sport, right? It's my sport. Maybe was my sport. I loved it. And if you're an Indiana boy, I mean, it almost becomes a religion for you. Does that make sense to you? Now, I know some of you are Kentucky fans, and I know you don't know anything at all about what I'm talking about now, right? But sometimes our attention can be elsewhere, and when our attention is elsewhere, that's when our heart gets filled full of junk. A pure heart defined, that is the real us that doesn't have any other junk in there. But a pure heart defiled is when we allow our lives and hearts to become saturated with things other than the Word of God. A pure heart defiled. Here's the third thing that I want you to see with me this morning. We talk about a pure heart defined. We talk about a pure heart defiled. But thirdly, I want you to understand a pure heart deployed. A pure heart deployed. We understand deployment. If you watch the news, you know that the threat of military action is always on the horizon somewhere. And when there is military action, that means that there is going to be a brave man or a brave woman that is going to leave their security, and they're going to be deployed to some hostile region, to some hostile place to give service to someone or some nation. Right? We understand that being deployed. I want to talk to you about Highland Lakes Baptist Camp. Have you ever heard of Highland Lakes Baptist Camp? Do you know that Southern Baptists, and we are Southern Baptists, we have a camp in Martinsville, Indiana. And all summer long, that camp is just absolutely hopping with all kinds of activities. Children's programs taking place there, youth programs taking place there, adult programs that is taking place there. It really is. I really think that when you step on the ground of Highland Lakes Baptist Camp, if you've never done that, you need to drive over to Martinsville and just go on that camp. And I feel when I go on that camp, I can feel the presence of God there in that place. Amazing things happen at Highland Lakes. Really do. I mean, this summer there's going to be dozens and dozens, maybe hundreds of kids that are come to faith in Jesus Christ as a result of Highland Lakes Baptist Camp. You don't want to know what their motto is? Jim Shields, you know Jim. Jim has been here once or twice and had preached for me when I was absent. And he's come up with, I think, a fantastic motto for Highland Lakes Baptist Camp. And you ready for it? This is worth writing down. The motto is this: to discover, develop, and deploy a transformed life in Christ. The purpose of Highland Lakes Baptist Camp is to discover, it is to develop, and it is to deploy a transformed life in Christ. Isn't that exactly what God asks us to do? We're to discover. Man, I've been born again. I know Jesus as my Savior. I've been saved. I'm part of the family of God. You may be as well. And once you become part of the family of God, you want to know what your responsibility is? You're to discover that transformed life in Christ, right? To discover it. God has put me here for this reason. This is why I am in the place that I'm in, because of this. And when you discover what that is, then you know what you should do? You should try to develop it. Become sharper. Any skill that you have, you try to develop it, right? Whatever skill that you have, you try to develop it. I think of Jaquita over there. She won't own up to this, but I say she's a good gardener. You want to know the evidence that I have that she's a good gardener? When you leave this morning, look at that little plant. Well, it's not a little plant anymore. That's sitting right outside the foyer there by our Welcome Center table. I don't even know what it is. She can tell you what it is, but I know what it was. It was a little plant about this tall that was getting ready to die because it was left up to Pastor Rick to give it the attention that it needs. And guess what Pastor Rick did? Didn't give it the attention that it needs. You know, it needed what? It needed a bigger pot, right? It needed to be watered every once in a while. It needed to be fed every once in a while. That plant needed to be developed so it would grow to be as beautiful as it is right now. Listen to me. Can you not see it? That's what God wants from you in your life. He wants you to discover the thing that He wants you to do. Then He wants you to develop it. Right? Make it better. Make it sharper. Make it more usable for the kingdom of God. And when you do those things, what should you do? Deploy it. Get busy. do what it is that God has designed you to do. Discover what that thing is, then sharpen it up, and then do it. It's what we should do. That's a pure heart deployed. You see the text? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. A pure heart deployed. One more thing, of course, we need to know. You can't deploy a pure heart until you develop it, right? How do you develop it? Well, you walk with Jesus. You think about those things that are more important to you than the things of God. Then you crucify those things. You put them in the grave. You mortify them. The scripture says, the King James Version says, I love that word mortify. You know, that word is it's a mortician's word. You know, someday my body is going to die. And then probably my family is going to send me to a mortician. And you know what that mortician is going to do with my body? It's going to prepare my body for the grave. I don't know what they do. I have a general idea of what they do there. But I do know that mortician is going to go through a process of getting my body ready for the grave. We should go through the same process of mortifying the things of the flesh. What comes up? Think about it right now. What is the thing that jumps in your mind right now? God speaks to you. Don't tell me that He doesn't. He does. What are you thinking about right now? What do you need to put in the grave? Do it. That's how you develop it. One more thing that I want you to see. Not only a pure heart developed, but, you know, we think about having a pure heart rewarded. Check out the last part of verse number 8. You see that? A pure heart delighted. I think it's pretty interesting. Blessed are the pure in heart. Did you see that part? Notice what it says now. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The pure in heart see God. Do you see Him? God is at work all around you, right? Many of you know this. My wife and I, Michelle, we were on vacation last week. And all of our life, we've been married for a while now, and we celebrated our 38th wedding anniversary, and we went on a trip to Hawaii. You know, we always wanted to do that. She always wanted to go, and I always wanted to go. And so we just decided, you know, hey, we're getting old, and so let's go. And so we went. You know what I saw in Hawaii? I saw God. There's some places that we went there that I don't have vocabulary enough to describe how beautiful it was. One of the most beautiful places that I've ever seen in my life. And I'm pretty well traveled, right? I mean, I've been in 34 different countries. One of the most beautiful places that I've ever seen in my entire life, I saw this past week. We rented a car one day, and we had some time, and we just kind of felt like we wanted to get out and go on an adventure. And so we took off on our adventure, and we didn't really even know where we were going, right? And so we thought, well, we're going to go on this road, and this road is going to go about 35 or 40 miles, and then it was going to stop. So we drove the car the 35 or 40 miles, and it looked like the road was getting ready to stop. And I saw a sign that talked about some state park. And I thought, you know, that's payoff there. It's got to be pretty good. You know, state park way out here in the middle of nothing. And so we turned. And we came upon the road that was going to take us to the state park. And the road said, four-wheel drives only, and don't tell budget rent a car. But I had one of them tiny little cars. And so I decided, we're going to go anyhow. And so we went, and we took that road, and I think it was 5-6 miles. Something like that. To go those 5 or 6 miles, it took me about 35 minutes to go those 5 or 6 miles. And we ran out of road. Okay, now we're adventurous, right? So we decided, well, let's get out and let's go on a walk. So we got out and we went on a walk and we walked down the trail. And the trail opened up into the most beautiful thing that I have ever seen in my entire life. Now, if you are a traveler, if you are a history buff, you probably have heard about the Napoli Coast. It's one of the 8th wonder of the world, it's supposed to be. I knew, I guess, of the Napoli Coast, but I didn't know of the Napoli Coast. And that state park was right there at the beginning of that coastline. And it was me and her, and you could probably look a mile one direction, a mile the other direction as the coast was turning, and maybe we saw two other families that was there in that big stretch, and we just kind of stood there like, and she said it. She said, how can people not believe in God? Now, I know, folks, I got a long way to go. When I read this, blessed are the pure in heart, I get a little prick right there in my heart because I know that it's not as pure as it ought to be. But you know what I get to see every once in a while? I get to see a beautiful glimpse of God. And friend, you can too if you clean the junk out of your life. What is keeping you from seeing God? Deal with it. What defiles your heart? Deal with it. How do you deal with it? You bring it to the Father. God, you know I struggle with this area. Oh, God, would you forgive me of this? Would you help me to have victory here? And you know what God wants to do? Well, He wants to deliver you from that. And he wants you to have victory there so that you might get a big old glimpse of him. So if you're looking for God, understand this blessed attitude. Blessed are the pure in heart. For those folks, for they shall see God. Pray with me if you would. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you so much for loving us. God, you give us your word. And your word is a blessing and your word is a treasure. And God, we want to see more and more of you. And God, you've talked to us today about doing heart surgery in our life. God, whatever is defiling, whatever is unclean, Father, I pray that we would just give that to you and you would give us victory in regard to that. God, I love my brothers and sisters in Christ in this room. I'm so grateful for them. God, and I want us to see God clearly. God, I pray that you would help us this morning do that very thing. And we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God bless you. Let's stand together.